saints, will you stand with me? Amen. Will you take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 4 with me? You minister to the needs, Lord, of our loved ones, Lord. Minister to our needs, Lord, as we present them before you this morning. Father, we come with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord, that all things have already been accomplished in you. Lord, we need only to believe. Father, we ask that you anoint, Lord God, our pastor this morning as he ministers the word. You know exactly what we have need of. Therefore, you permitted us to come, Lord God, to hear your precious word of life, Lord. For your word is what we feed on. It's what we are encouraged by, Lord. It's what we live by, Lord. I ask that you anoint him in a special way. I ask that you anoint these musicians in a special way, Lord God. Use them and bless them, Lord, for their sacrifice, Lord. Anoint this congregation. Help us all to get in one accord, Lord God. In a special way, Lord, we need you, Lord. We're so glad that you're here. You promised to be wherever two or three are gathered, Lord. We know your word is true, and we're grateful for your presence, Lord. Therefore, do we honor you. We love you. We praise you. We commit all things to you just now. In the precious and lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Upon this earth, we ought to live like that. And if we're going to come back and reign with him, he must have a body.
excited for us to be in the land with him, so. He is the air that I breathe. Sanctify and change dwelling places. Praise the Lord. Amen. You all may be seated. We have a few specials this morning. Sister Charisse. Amen. Don't you love Sister Charisse?
bless you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. We should love him for that. Amen. We're going to ask our brothers to come at this time to take up the offering. Amen. How many appreciate it especially?
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just turn around and tell somebody it won't be long. Amen, it won't be long. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated just for a few minutes. Certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. On today, we want to thank the Lord for giving us traveling mercies on last week, taking us there to Arkansas. And we had a wonderful time there in fellowship with the believers. It's just really, special meetings. We saw the hand of the Lord just bring deliverance, amen, and healing to people just right during the service and everything. And you know, that just makes it worth it, you know, when you go and you see God move, amen, on behalf of his people. So just very appreciative of that, and amen. I understand that Brother Hugo did a wonderful job last week, and amen, and we thank God for that as well. God just being everywhere, amen, and just meeting his people. We're so grateful that we serve a God like that. I know we got a couple announcements that we just want to make mention of. Amen. Don't forget, on this evening, amen, we'll be having communion, amen, we'll wash it tonight at 5:30. And, you know, and I just want to just encourage, amen, everyone to just be a part of the communion service, especially if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. You should be a part of that service. Communion is one of those, for those that might not know it, but when we get to the other side, that's the first thing that will happen, will be communion. Amen. He promised that according to the scripture. So we ought to be a part of that service. That's probably the most important service as believers that we should partake of, is communion and feet washing. That's an ordinance that he left for us to do, and we want to honor his word. Amen. In doing that. Also, don't forget, this Thursday night we'll be at Pinnacle Palms, amen, during our Bible study there, and just continue to keep us in prayer. Last time we went out for Bible study, there was a young lady that showed up. She'd never come before, and she came, and what she heard was good enough to bring her mom to church, amen, a couple Sundays ago. So you just never know who's going to be there. So just be in prayer that God will just use us. My desire, amen, is for us to do all that we can to reach that last seat. There is only one reason we're still here. That's because we have not reached the last seed. So we have to do our part in trying to reach them. I was praying yesterday after the radio broadcast went forth. I'm like, Lord, please let that seed come forth. You know that, or it could be multiple seed that's in this area that just have not heard this truth. But we're praying that they'll hear the word and they'll be, they'll come forth. I'm under expectation, amen, that will happen. Also, just quickly following the service, there'll be a brief meeting for the sisters, amen, quickly following the service, amen, today. So just if the sisters will remain for that, we greatly appreciate it, amen. I heard Brother Solomon, amen, talking about his loved one, amen, that he lost this week. The family lost a loved one. We just want to make sure we say a word of prayer, amen, for the family, that God would somehow through this draw somebody closer to him, amen. So let's we'll say a word of prayer today over that, and I want to encourage you to continue to keep the family in prayer and their loss. Praise the Lord. How many just love Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Now it's a difference in loving Jesus and being in love with Jesus, right? You know, you hear the people say, I fell in love. Well, if you fall in love, you know, you can also fall out of love, right? When things ain't going the way that you want them to go, you'll fall right out of love, right? So we're not talking about falling in love. I'm just in love. I'm in love with Jesus. That means I'm going to serve him no matter what I'm going through. No matter what I'm facing, I'm going to serve him. Now, I can tell you this much. The more I serve him, amen, the greater I love him. Amen. And that's how I fall. I fall deeper in love with him every day. Praise God. I don't plan on getting out of this relationship. I am locked in. I am locked in. A long time ago, I came to a conclusion that I was not going to serve God just because of the things that he's done for me. Amen. But him going to a cross and dying for my sins was more than enough, amen, to make me serve him. So, amen, I just want to encourage you, just love him with everything you got. Amen. Remain encouraged no matter what. Just remain encouraged. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. And we'll read a scripture here. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate, amen, your service on today. God richly bless you. Thank God for the specials that went forth. Amen. Certainly enjoyed those. And also the worship, amen, by precious Brother Solomon. Appreciate everything that has happened. His spirit is just so real, church. Amen. His spirit is so real. And sometimes you walk in and you just feel his presence. It's the best thing on earth that you could ever feel, is the presence of the Lord. And when we come here, I'm under expectation that God will do exceeding abundant above all we can ask or think. Amen. I'm under expectation for that. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalms 19. Psalms 19. Praise the Lord. Verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, no language where their voice is not heard. Their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the earth, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heart, from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. The Lord and the blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Amen. On today. Dear God, we certainly are careful to give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, for you alone deserve it. This morning, God, we just praise you. We bless you. We thank you that you've allowed us to gather together once more in your precious name. And God, we pray that as your spirit has been with us thus far in the service, we've heard you in the worship, we've heard you in the specials. Now, God, may we hear you in the word as it goes forth today. And God, we just want to pray especially for Brother Solomon's family and the loss of their loved one. We're trusting, Lord Jesus, that you somehow would bring someone closer to you through this situation. We know that something has to die in order for something else to live. So God, may somebody receive life in Christ through this. And we just ask God that you would just get all glory, that you would get all honor, that you would bring comfort, that you bring strength, that you bring encouragement, that you would bring help to the family in this great time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. On today. Praise the Lord. So we have just kind of taken, amen, for past few weeks, a couple of thoughts around how great our God is. Amen. We were talking to worship His Majesty, and amen, and just kind of showing how, you know, God was truly in nature. Amen. And then we took a thought on God being in His people. And today I just want to take a thought on God is in His universe. Amen. Brother Branham had made those comments, I think, in a couple messages that he preached on Show Us the Father. He would go and just kind of go down a little path and just try to show how God was in nature, and God was in this universe, and God was in His people. And you know, last week while we were preaching on God is in His people, you know, just trying to bring it up from, you know, the from the Old Testament, and just seeing God just manifest Himself in various people's lives in the Old Testament, and how, you know, He did it in the New Testament. And even, I mean, you know, you got Peter and walking, and people want to get in the shadow, and, you know, and Paul and raising people from the dead, and, you know, just all those things, and showing how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because we saw the same thing in Brother Branham's ministry. God's not dead. Amen. He is still alive, and it wasn't supposed to just stop in Brother Branham's ministry. Amen. It wasn't, I mean, it's supposed to keep going. God just showing that he's still with us, right? And, you know, as I was sharing that on last week with, you know, with this one, I was telling him how, you know, in Arkansas, Brother Branham preached his, probably one of the most outstanding meetings that ever happened in his ministry occurred in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And what happened in his ministry, I should say stateside, I mean, here in the United States, one of the things that happened is that there was 8 days, 8 full days of the supernatural. And Brother Branham couldn't even, I mean, he would go to sleep and pretty much just have his hand out the window, you know, just praying for people. And they come and they feed him a little something. And just he put in his heart that I'm going to pray for every sick person that comes to these meetings in Arkansas. And he had that in his heart. He did it, and it lasted 8 days. And I said, church, I mean, who would love to see 8 days of the supernatural again, right? You know, I would love to see that. And, you know, so after we finished preaching, the pastor made a comment and said, you know, there was a sister that was in that meeting, and she has prayed for by the prophet. She had a goiter on her neck, and Brother Branham prayed, and right there on the spot, that goiter went down. Oh, come on, somebody. Right? I mean, this is God that I'm talking about. I'm talking about seeing the difference as soon as we pray. That this is where I want our faith to be. I mean, if we pray over that, let that thing be dissolved right then. Amen. Not waiting months and weeks, but we got to believe what we're praying for. We got to believe in the God that we're praying to. Right? God is still in His people. Amen. So, you know, he say that Brother Brandon prayed for the sister, and that daughter went down, say, and now she was about, you know, she's about 80 years old, and she come back to service. Brother Branham's already gone, and she come to the pastor there, Brother Morris, there in Arkansas. And about 40 years later, here she come to church, and she said, I was in that meeting, and Brother Branham prayed for me, and that daughter went down. You know, she said, but, you know, Satan's attacking my body again, and here that daughter's coming right back. And so she said, but I believe that if you would pray for me, you would lay hands and pray for me, I believe that the same God is here right now to cause it to go down. Brother Moore said, in the name of Jesus, I command this daughter to go down. Right there on the spot, that daughter went down again. Right? God is still in His people. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, I mean, you know, and you know, so during the service we were sharing. I remember hearing this. I was reading a testimony from Brother Luke Gibson, and you know, about somebody speaking and how he spoke. He was speaking, I think, in English, and the young lady was hearing him in Spanish in Mexico, and he was saying how he was preaching a message. And when he was preaching the message, he said he was telling the people that all you got to do is just lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Right? That's what the Bible says. It didn't say lay hands and pray for the sick. It just said lay hands on the sick. So, you know, I caught that, and while we were in service, I told the church, I said, just touch your neighbor, just touch your neighbor, just lay hands on him, just touch him, you know. And while they was touching, one of the brothers said, as soon as I got touched, I was dealing with a headache in service, but as soon as I got touched, the headache was gone. Right? You know, I mean, this was happening right there. You know, I mean, God proved himself to be there again, you know, in our midst. So, and different people come up giving testimonies of how God had touched them right there on the spot. And I said, you know, this is what should happen when we go to church, right? We should see God manifest himself. God is real, y'all. It's not some fiction that we're talking about. Right? I mean, something that we're making up, you know, some hope that we have. This is reality that we're standing on, church, and we should be expecting God to do the things that he promised that he would do. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. You know, so, I mean, this morning, I just want to kind of talk about this. You know, I'm looking at the scripture. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. You know, I mean, I just, you know, we find that God is in his universe, right? God is inside of his universe, this great world that we live in. And you know, we don't really, I think sometimes we need to just kind of stop and think about how big our God is, right? Yeah. Right? I mean, when we're looking at the earth, we only looking at one planet.
Amen.
Right? We only looking at one planet. Amen. And you just think about it. If you ever looked at it, if you ever just get in a plane and fly over the seas, and sometimes it's taking you 15, 16 hours just to get from one place to another place, and then you better stop and gas the plane up if you want to go a little further. Right? When you look on the globe and see how big this earth is and how many people, billions of people that live on the earth, and I was just thinking to myself just a few weeks ago, you know, I was praying a prayer and I said, God, I mean, what a mighty God you are.
Yes.
That you can take time to listen to the prayer that I'm praying.
Right. Yes.
But you also hear the prayer of everybody else all over the world.
Yes.
Right, not just the prayers here in Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Right, but every all over the world, God is not only just hearing, but God is answering prayers. People leaving with testimonies that God heard my prayer. I mean, God responded to what I was requesting, and I don't know about you, but I just can't see how people can't serve a God like this. Amen. A God that's so great, a God that's so high, a God that's so mighty, a God that's so powerful, a God that's so strong, a God that's so real, a God that's so concerned. Amen. I mean, what a God we serve. If he can put the stars in the sky. Come on, if he can tell the moon to obey, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah, church. Don't get discouraged in this hour, but be encouraged. Your God is bigger than your problem. Your God is greater than your situation. Sometimes we just got to stop and think about how big he is. How concerned he is over every little detail. Every little detail. You can be seated just for a few minutes. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'll tell you what, this message, I'm so dependent on you to help me preach it because, you know, I mean, even when I start trying to look at it, my mind was just, I'm like, Lord, I can't comprehend how big you are. And I'm going to sit here and complain about a bill not being paid.
Right.
Whatever it is, one of the scriptures that just I love, Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's,
yeah.
and the fullness
yeah.
thereof,
oh, yeah.
The world and they that dwell therein. Right? And when we're talking about the earth, we're only talking about one planet.
That's right.
You understand? We're only talking about one planet. I was just kind of looking at, you know, some things here and
You know, sometimes we can hear the voice of God if we just kind of watch some of the signs that he has in the heavens and things of that nature. We can see him speaking to us. I was just kind of looking at a few things, just to kind of talk about how big he is. If y'all don't mind, just bear with me. You know, I told you it's only we're only talking one planet when we're talking to Earth, but they when I was coming up, they actually said it was 9 planets. Right, and they said it was Mercury and Venus and Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and they had Pluto. But now, you know, you start doing research now, they've taken Pluto out of it. Yeah. You know, they say Pluto is too far, you know, outside of our system, you know, that we can't even include it. Now, if Pluto is going outside of our system that we can't include it, what else is out there?
Good question.
All right. What else is out there? And science, they don't realize it, but they just keep tapping, mm-hmm. and they keep touching, mm-hmm. and every time they touch, they're getting closer and closer to God.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Brother Branham was making a statement about Einstein, and Einstein was, you know, he got to discovering, you know, galaxies and things like this. These things that I can't even comprehend. I've been out of school for a little bit too long. But they got galaxies out there. They say we haven't even discovered them yet, right? And you know, Einstein got into the discovery of a particular galaxy, he made this. He said, you know, it would take, 150 million light years or something like that in order to get to the galaxy. And it says then it would take 150 million more light years for you to get back. So it'd be 300 million light years before you got back to Earth. To go to that galaxy and to come back. This is the only one, just the galaxy that he discovered. But there's been many more galaxies out there, right? But here Einstein discovers this, and when he discovers it, he says, now, you know, when you go 300 million, I believe, years, light years, and you go and you come back, he says, if you put that in time on the Earth, it'll be about 50 years of time on Earth. Well, Brother Branham took him a little further. He said, when you start crossing into them light years like that, say, you don't realize it, but you just tap right into eternity.
Amen.
You just tap right into eternity, not even understanding what you done discovered, right? So, you know, I was looking at some things about the galaxy, and, you know, they said that what a galaxy is a group of stars and other space stuff. Said it's, the stars tend to spin around the center of high gravity, sort of like planets spin around the sun and in the solar system. Galaxies are huge and can have trillions, way bigger than billions of stars, right? Says big galaxies are generally separated by large areas of empty space. Big galaxies are generally separated by large areas of empty space. Now, scientists, amen, when they look at the empty space, what they see is a black hole. And they say, now, if you get too close to that black hole, you're going to get absorbed by it. Right? The black hole will just kind of take in. But the prophet said, right? He says, now, God is just like the air. He fills all the universe.
Yes,
so that black hole that you might think you're tapping into, that's a part of God.
Hallelujah.
And you get too close to him, you will be absorbed by him. Jesus.
Amen.
You just keep touching because you're going to find God is inside of his universe.
Amen.
God is in his people. God is in nature. God is everywhere you look. That's why it's impossible for people to be atheists.
That's right.
All you got to do is look around. You'll see God is everywhere.
That's right.
Amen.
My God, my God, my God. This one man, he called himself an atheist. Let's just kind of pick up something here. Oh, my God, my God. I think I want to read this. This is out of Show Us the Father, and it suffices. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. This man called himself an atheist, an infidel. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in God. But God is everywhere, church. If we just open our eyes, we'll see him. Look at this, what he says. It says, not long ago, there was an infidel passed through the lands making infidels out of supposedly to be Christians. Now, you got to know your God,
yes,
you know, because you'll run into some people that will challenge you on some things. We're working with our Sunday school. We're talking about atheism, you know, in Sunday school. But, I mean, we're living in a day where there's going to be a lot of people scoffing, a lot of people making fun of what we believe. Right? I mean, a lot of people with all kind of questions, and you're going to have answers to people's questions. Now, the other thing about it, some people just don't want to believe.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can give them answers, but they don't want to believe anyway, so don't waste your time. I mean, Paul tell you to avoid foolish questions.
All right.
So people that really don't want to believe this, don't worry about it. But when I look at it, I can't help but see God everywhere. Right? I mean, everything I see is God here, God there, God everywhere, right? So, you know, here, this man was going around, he making infidels out of people that are supposed to be Christians.
Right.
Amen. He was so educated till the ministers was afraid to attack him. And then he went to Europe, and on his road back, he got broke down. This is when people find God, when they get sick, right? So as he went out into the West to make him arrest. And one day, while he walked out from his camp, he swelled himself out. He began to look down there, come that whispering of the wind, down through the pines, and he began to look up, and he looked at the rocks hanging in the mountains. He said, "Oh, rocks, who put you in the mountains? Have I been wrong about the chronology of this world?" All of a sudden, God began to speak. The Bible said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. See, God in his universe speaking from his rock. Well, that infidel knelt down by the side of a tree, say, "Oh God, have mercy on my soul." There you are. Their pastors were afraid to attack him. God could let the rock speak out. God's in his universe speaking to his people.
Amen.
Now, what was going on here is that this man just got into nature. Right. And as he got up there into nature, and I'll tell you what, if you just kind of sometimes just kind of look around. So, I mean, just look at how the mountains are designed. Right. Look at some of the seven wonders of the world. And one of those great wonders of the world is the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And if you've ever gone to just kind of look at how this was, how this is designed, they said it was just a great river that caused this rock formation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the most beautiful things that your eyes could behold. It's no way, amen, that a Big Bang created these things.
Amen.
Right? It's no way. It had to be the finger of Almighty God.
Amen.
Right? And there was, this man got to a spot where he just kind of looking at the rocks. Here he's trying to disprove God, but just by looking at nature, probably not just some little rock, but big boulders.
Uh-huh.
Looking at how they were formed and how this all happened, say, "It's got to be a God somewhere."
Yeah.
Right? This man said, "So God, have I been wrong?" I mean, sometimes just look around. Sometimes you can see God is everywhere.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, church. I was, I remember a story somebody was saying about, they were talking to the prophet, I think out in Arizona, they had these big boulders and the way that they was designed, and they was looking at them, and I said, "Man, you know," Brother Randall said, that happened after the flood, right? Those rocks took on that formation after the flood. Now, he could point way back to Noah's day and say that was impacted because of the water that was on the earth. And when the water receded, that's what happened to those rocks, right? I mean, you start looking at just natural things, church, natural things. You'll start seeing God everywhere. Watch this. Let's go on. God being in his universe, one of the things that I looked at here is when the Magi were studying stars, right? They come to learn about the astrology, and now don't get me wrong, because I don't want nobody leaving here going to get a newspaper and trying to read about the sign. That's not what I'm talking about, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am trying to get you to see is that if you can keep it, amen, in perspective, then you can see God, right? God dwells in his universe, right? But here the Magi were one day just kind of studying the stars, and they knew that there was scripture that a star would rise out of Jacob. They knew that there was numbers spoke about it. So they learned these things from Daniel, and they were looking. And as they're out there studying the stars, all of a sudden it comes an alignment, amen, of the stars, and they knew something had happened on the earth. God was in his universe. God was speaking to the Magi. Here they are way in the land of India. Amen. Trying to make their way to Jerusalem. They're days away, months away, years away from getting to Jerusalem, but they're following a star because God is speaking through his universe.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
If you won't take the word, take the sign that God will use. There's things happening even in our day right now proving that God is trying to speak to his people.
Yeah.
People that won't take God's word, they can take God's signs.
Right.
One of the signs that's happening right now is the blood moons.
Right.
You all hear about that.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And there's four of them, amen, that they are two in 2014 and two in 2015. Now, you know, people looking at these blood moons, they just wonder what's happening. Well, for us, there's scripture that's associated with this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The scripture actually tells us let me just get this really quick. Joel 2, 31 and 32 says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And also say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? So if people can just recognize God in his universe and begin to repent, God will hear their prayer. Oh, hallelujah, church.
Amen.
Stay with me. Stay with me. These blood moons are signs, right? And the other thing about all of this is when you look at it, you just think about God. How can they predict the exact days when these things are going to happen? The only reason they can predict is because God is consistent. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because of his consistency, because of the sun rising every morning and going down in the evening and coming back up the next morning, they can kind of pinpoint some things.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hallelujah, church.
Amen.
Stay with me today. They can pinpoint a few of these things, and as they start pinpointing, praise the Lord. Amen. Don't worry. Let's just pray.
Amen.
It's all right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, for this, we just ask that you would bless and that you would just move by your spirit. Satan, you are a liar.
Amen.
It's not Jacob, it's you.
Amen.
It's not Jacob, it's you. It's not Jacob, it's you. It's not Jacob. And we command you to loose and let go in the name of
Jesus.
It's not Jacob. It's not Jacob, it's you. God, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for liberty. We thank you for showing yourself strong.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We it's okay. We got power.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, Satan is he's a liar. He's nothing but a liar.
Jesus.
Anything he can to disrupt, but it's Satan.
Amen.
And we know how to press, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know, I'd rather see Jacob in church any day. Any day, I'd rather sit right here in the house of the Lord. Amen. And, you know, I mean, Satan, his job is to try to take any of us, right? You know, wherever he can get a foothold, that's where he wants to do. But, you know, he's a liar. So we don't, amen. Glory to God. Cannot have Jacob.
Amen.
Cannot have Jacob. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. So, you know, if people would just, again, just begin to listen. If they won't listen to the word, then just kind of watch the signs that God is kind of putting all around us. When we look at the blood moons and all of this, that scripture actually being fulfilled, that's supposed to happen before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, the problem is that many of us can't interpret what these things are. But God has given us a prophet to kind of help us see some of these things, right?
Amen.
You know, so we don't have to be afraid when we see things. We can look at it through a prophetic lens and say, okay, this is the word of the Lord being fulfilled.
Yes.
Amen. The heavens will declare his glory.
Yes.
Right? Well, all you got to do is just look around. If you don't want to believe me, you know, just look around. God is speaking through his universe.
Amen.
Right? I mean, even when they didn't want to believe that Jesus was being born, they didn't want to believe that a king was born amongst them. Here God sent those magi from I mean, it took them 2 years to get to where Jesus was. But God was speaking through a sign in the universe, a sign in the heavens. That's what God was using to get the attention of the magi.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I pray God is getting people's attention today. Right, I pray God is, amen, is somehow speaking to people. And I think it's important for you to kind of understand, you don't know who's going to come to you asking you different questions.
Amen.
Right? I mean, what does this mean? What God trying to get somebody's attention. You won't go to church. So since they won't go to church, God got to speak to them through signs in the skies. And you got to be ready to kind of give these people an answer. God is in his universe. God is filling all space. God is trying to speak to his people. Look at this. Those magi, amen, saw a star that God used to get their attention to bring them to the Christ child. Amen. And, you know, today, if the Lord would allow us, I want to just kind of show God used, amen, that same scenario where those stars cross, amen. And when the days when Jesus was born, God did the same thing a few years ago, I should say over 100 years ago. When Brother Branham was born on the earth, astrologer. She studied astronomy, and she said, you know what? I can tell you the exact day that you were born.
Amen.
So I can tell you, the reason I can tell you is because on the day that you was born, the stars lined up again.
Yes.
And the way that they say, and when they lined up, that was God sending a gift to the earth.
Yes.
Now, why is it that the astronomers can pick that up, but church people are lost?
Oh, my God.
Good question.
Church people came, but astrologers, people that study stars, right? I mean, here they actually could identify that God was doing something special on the earth through what they were seeing in the universe.
That's right,
brother.
Woo!
Right. Hallelujah, church, right? So, you know, and the thing of it is like, we were trying to tell people last week, we're not just trying to get people to Brother Branham. We're trying to get you to Christ. But if you don't go, amen, if you don't understand the word that's been revealed to you today, you're not really going to understand Christ,
right?
I mean, Christ did more than just die for our sins. He was trying to take us back to a place that Adam and Eve fell from in the beginning.
Right.
And the only way you're going to get back to that is you're going to have to come through the revealed word.
Yes, amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That's what redemption. Redemption was to take us back to where Adam and Eve had power in the beginning.
Yes, sir.
You know, the same God that spoke, let there be light, that same God wants to use your mouth to speak, let there be. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me just kind of go with, let me read something here, a paradox, look at this. The prophet says this, he says, the world, I wonder if that same person who doesn't believe in a miracle, I wonder if they can only be the things, that's real, is those which are scientifically proven. I wonder if you could have any scientist or anybody that doesn't believe in a miracle to explain to me how this world stands in its orbit. How does it keep its perfect time around the equator and the way it goes and just perfect? And we haven't got a machinery, a watch, or any kind that can keep time like that. It'll vary every few minutes, every month. But that sun is exactly on time. Thousands of years rolls on. She never moves, certainly perfectly. Now, that's because God established all this. And I don't know if I've had some good watches, even with a good watch, that thing lost time.
Right,
that thing lost time. I done changed batteries in it. It still won't keep time, right? I mean, anything that man makes is not perfect, but what God has made is perfect. Stay with me. Now here, I was telling you earlier, how could they predict these things? You know, when we say the sun going in the darkness, that's just an eclipse. right? I mean, here it's an eclipse, the sun going to darkness, the moon going into blood. You know, they can predict these things because of the way God has his system working, amen? And they won't give credit to God, but God got the thing working so perfect that they can make predictions and be spot on. How can he do it? It's because God is inside of his universe.
Yeah.
Ooh, Jesus, church. Glory to God. Look at this. I want to show you. Let's keep on going. It says, how the moon can billions of miles off the earth can still control the tides.
Oh,
how can this happen, church? Right? The moon can still control the tide. Tell me how that in this galaxy that we live in, how could the moon have any effect upon the water on the earth? Scientifically, tell me how it's done. It could not be done because there's no scientific way of telling it, but God set the moon to watch the sea. Oh, glory to God. And when the moon begins to turn its back, when the earth turns away, here comes the tide in. But when he wakes up the next morning, looks back this way, the tide runs back to its place again. It's a watchman.
Yes, sir.
Look at it. He says, you say that's just some seashore. No, that's right up here in Arizona, plumb back over in the state of Kentucky. Wherever you dig a hole down in the ground far enough to find salt water, you'll find out when that tide goes out, the salt water goes down in the pipe. And when the tide comes in, it also raises hundreds of millions from the seashore. We could preach a sermon on that, how that God, no matter he is in glory, but his orders, there is just the same effect on the whole world, and anybody that takes the promise, his orders is given. He has laws of nature, and they will absolutely carry themselves true from Pentecost or any other time. Anytime that God made the promise, he will stay with that promise regardless of where the people is at. How many thousand years his laws ever remain the same? Now, I just want to just kind of talk about that. No, the prophet is telling us here that, God set a law. And I'm going to read this out of Proverbs 8. God set a law. The moon is controlling, amen, the tide. And, there are so many things that we can look at this law that God has established. You all remember the one law that he brought in Noah's day, that after he had destroyed the earth with water, he made a promise that he would never destroy it that way again. And the way that he kind of shows this promise to people after a great rainstorm, glory to God, after a nice rainstorm, all of a sudden you see, I don't care if it's been raining for 2 or 3 days, we got inches of water everywhere, but all of a sudden you see a rainbow just kind of pop up out of nowhere. And when you see that rainbow, you're looking at a promise from Almighty God that it will not be destroyed. And I don't care if it rained for 3 or 4 days. It's got to stop.
Yeah.
Right? Because God will not destroy this earth with water again. He will do it with fire, but not with water. What a promise we have. And every time we look at a rainbow, we're looking at God in his universe. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at these promises. Amen. There's I mean, I'll name another one for you. Take a seed. Now, for me, I just love the mango tree, so take a mango seed. Plant that mango seed. Watch it bring forth, amen, it's got perpetual life. Watch it bring forth a tree. From that tree, it just begin to produce other fruit. And you take the seed from another fruit, amen, that's been produced off that mango tree, plant it somewhere else, that begins to also have perpetual life in it. I mean, God put a law in that seed that it had to bring forth after its own kind. Oh, come on. All we got to do is just look at the trees. We see God. Just look at the sea. We see God. Even a hurricane. Come on, somebody. The hurricane is bringing the water from the sea, bringing it from the ocean, and people say, man, we're going to flood out. It's only going to do so much damage. It can only do so much damage, right? But it cannot destroy it because God got boundaries set.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank God. If we can, at church, all I'm trying to do is get you, if you can see God in these little things, can't you see him working in your life? Don't you think if he got all that taken care of, don't you think he got you taken care of? Don't you think he got your situation under control? And I mean, this is years of proof that God has been doing this day after day, year after year, month after month. God has been proving himself. Don't you think he's got you under control? Look at this in Proverbs 8. Oh, glory to his name. This is wisdom speaking. Amen. Wisdom is speaking. I won't read the whole chapter, but I'll tell you what, I'll encourage you to read it. Let's go to verse 27. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. It says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Says when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that's a command. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. So here, Solomon going way back in the mind of God and telling us that, man, I was right there when he said the sea couldn't go no further. The sea had to stop right there. I don't care how angry it gets. Amen. I don't care what the storm is doing. That thing has a stopping point.
Yes.
And if I could just put it this way, if the sea has a stopping point, and if the storm has a stopping point, I don't care what type of storm is coming into your life, that storm has a stopping point. It has boundaries. It can only go so far. God won't let it overtake you.
No, sir.
God won't let it overtake you. I know sometimes we may feel like we under, but there's no way we can be under. We always over.
Amen.
God won't let it overtake
Amen.
You. God watching over the sea. God watching over the land. I know God watching over me.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, church. Glory to God. Let me just keep going here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. At thy word, the prophet says this, and at thy word. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Says, Jesus said that a sower sowed. And if you'll just take it in your heart and don't dig it up. This is so important, church. Take God's promises in your heart. Don't dig them up. When God made you a promise, I'm talking about a big God. I'm not talking about a little God. I'm talking about a great God. A great God. Amen. You go to the science museum, you start looking out there and seeing all those galaxies. That's your God created all of that.
Right.
You know, now they actually say that sometimes these galaxies are colliding. Right? Now I'm not sure about that. We don't and actually if you really look at their words, when they start describing these things, they say it appears.
Right.
It appears as if two galaxies are colliding. NASA kind of came up with something a few years ago and said, it appears that two galaxies may be colliding, or actually they say they may be merging with one another, right? These are the words that they use, it appears. Now, the reason I said it is because God's prophet said, when God put them stars in place, it says not one of them could come out of place.
That's right.
I mean, when God put this earth and the sun and everything, when he put it in its place, it could not come out of its place, because if it did, things would happen on this earth that wouldn't be too pleasant. Right? I mean, so he said when he established it, it was established.
Right.
So I don't know if it's actually colliding. That's why they use the word it appears. They have no idea
right.
what's really going on.
Amen.
But I can tell you God's in control.
Amen. Amen.
God's in control. Come on, stay with me. I want to read some scriptures for you today. I just love them. Look, I'm at that word. Let me just read from here. Jesus said that a sower sowed, if you just take it in your heart and don't dig it up every day, to see how it's getting along. That means a promise that God gave you. Don't dig it up, church. I mean, you know how we dig it up with the words that we speak?
Yes, Lord.
I feel worse today than I ever felt. Don't say that. Say, I, by his stripes I am healed.
Yeah.
It don't even matter how I feel. By his stripes I am healed.
Amen.
He is the God that healeth all my diseases. Even when the doctors say, I ain't never seen nothing like this, that's okay. God still heals it all. You have to just keep speaking that over and over until your body come in line with what you're saying. Oh, glory to his name. Look, it says, take it in your heart. Don't dig it up every day to see how it's getting along. Just sink it in your heart and settle it. That's all. Walk right on. God will take care of the rest of it. He's obligated to his word. I'm at thy word. He's obligated to his word. Do you know that everything that you see tonight is God's word materialized? Do you know your body is God's word materialized? Do you know when them beams, there is God's word materialized? Do you know that concrete is God's spoken word materialized? You know this whole earth is God spoke and said, let there be, and he believed his own word. Listen, and an earth come into existence. If it didn't, where did it come from? Well, you say, it come off the sun. Well, who spoke the sun to existence? See, everything is God's word. The worlds were framed by the word of God. The Bible said so. God just spoke it, and he believed his own word, and that's what it was. If God is dwelling on the inside of you, God is still speaking his word through you. But the God in you wants to believe the word that's been spoken. The God in you will believe the word that's been spoken. You want to know how I know that? When they went to the temple, Peter and John, and they said, man, look on us. Silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, such as we have, we give to thee. Brother Branham said that Jesus' faith came into that man and caused him to believe the word that was spoken. Right, and if Jesus' faith could come into that man and cause him to believe the word that was spoken, then Jesus' faith can come into you and cause you to believe the word that has been spoken. When your faith is running out, Lord, give me your faith. When my faith is weak, God, give me your faith to believe your word to make this promise come to pass in my life. Oh, come on, we serve a big God. We serve a big God. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Christ is revealed in his own word. Let me just kind of catch up. I just begin to think about how big he is, church. I think about how small I am, how little my problems are. I mean, a God that's he got this thing just like clockwork. Sun go up, sun go down, tide come in, tide go out. Yeah. You know, God just got this thing like clockwork. And even when, you see people on the beach sometime and that tide be coming in, they be running. They don't know how deep it's going to get and how fast. They be running. You know, you just watch them there because, you know, you got to be careful. Don't play around with them tides. You can get swept right out to sea. Right? I mean, they got a undercurrent that just kind of pull you right out. So you got to be careful. But there's a promise that tide can only go so far. Because God is in his universe. Look at this, and Christ has revealed his own word. I'll tell you about Einstein and how he tapped into eternity with some of the things that he discovered. But look at this. The prophet says, now we could have get any continuity amongst medics, amongst scientists, different ones, if Einstein had only had the spiritual application, the physical application. As he studied the laws of light and so forth, he could have told us something. So, see, Einstein could have told us something. When I heard his message on that great center somewhere into the skies, that ever contacted with that center, you could create Earth, do anything, and the power would be unlimited. See, he had seen that. Look, you see these little pockets going through the air, they call saucers. Or flying saucers. So forth, people say, well, we better leave that alone. Here all these people come up missing. You say, don't hear from them. They're standing there, and they're not there. That's the way the rapture is going to be. One of them will drop right down, and this terrestrial body will take on a celestial body. There'll be hot hair or bones left. It'll be transformed in a moment of time, dropping right out of space and taking home that. And we see all this going on now, and the Pentagon wondering about these lights and mystic lights and everything they're seeing in the sky. You've seen they had one here in the paper at Jeffersonville this week and so forth, a mystic light. So, oh, they don't know what that is. But listen, little children, I'm going to pick you up one of these days. See, don't worry. Remember, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. What happened just before Sodom? God came down with some angels. And they had an investigation judgment, said, I've heard the cry that is so sinful, so great, so I've come down to find out whether it's altogether truth or not. That's right. Watch that main one that stayed with Abraham. Could discern the thoughts that was in Sarah's heart behind him. Now you look around just a little bit and notice, see, watch what it's doing. The same thing is an investigation judgment. Why, after a while, the church, when it can stay in that place and every seed has been brought to a spot, they'll be gone. They won't know what happened to them. One will be going one way. See, one will be going over to the pastor's house. And one will be going here or down there. And the first thing you know, they're not there. For Enoch, which was the type, God took him and was found not. God come down to investigate, the continuity, how the Enoch translation, a type of Israel being carried over in the ark. Now, Brother Branham is saying here to us, people looking at these flying saucers and things like that, you start hearing all kind of crazy things. They got crazy shows on out there. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. You got to be careful with it now. I'm not saying, but Brother Branham kind of give us some warning here, church, that some of this that they tapping into, right, amen, could be God, mm-hmm, right? They see him flying saucers and trying to describe it. UFOs. We don't know. Brother Branham said it was investigating angels of judgment. And what they were doing, they were coming down just like they did in Lot's day. They went down into the city before they destroyed it. They went down into the city to see if it was as sinful as it had been reported. Right? They went down. So when we start seeing some of these things, I mean, don't get too shook up. God is still in his universe. God is still in his universe. God can do whatever he want to do when he want to do it. God want to send angels, God can send angels. And they'll be here and be gone just like that. Church, I was telling y'all earlier how those stars lined up when Brother Branham was born. God did that for a reason. And there's many things that God did in his prophet's life to kind of show people that, look, if y'all want to believe the sign, or believe the voice that's being spoken from the earth, then I'm going to place signs in the sky for you to try to look at so you can see something, right? And one of the great things that happened here in our day, oh, God help us. One of the great things that happened here in our day, there was a big sign that happened in the sky. God speaking, amen. God is in his universe. I'm trying to get you to see. There was a great big thing that happened. 1963. Seven angels came down. Oh my God. I put on that computer back there. I got a PowerPoint. If you all could just pull that up. I just want to just show you, oh God help us, Jesus. Might be the third file or something like that. I forget what I named it. But it talks about these angels. But I just want to just kind of show you something. For those of you that might have never seen this, but I want to just show you that God is still in his universe. Let's press the next button for me. December 1962, God gave William Branham a vision of an angelic visitation, which he foretold in the message, Sirs, Is This the Time? So now look, just stay there for me. When God is speaking, like I just read to you out of Joel, when Joel 2 spoke that there'd be, the sun would be go down in darkness and the moon into blood. These were things Joel spoke before they happened. So when we see a blood moon, we should not be shook. God already spoke it, right? And if God can speak it before it happened, then we ought to take notice to these things. So 1962, Brother Branham gave a vision and said that, there'd be an angelic visitation, which he foretold in the message, Sirs, Is This the Time? You can hear it on the tape. December 1962. Well, on February 28, 1963, the vision and the prophecy was fulfilled when a constellation of seven angels formed as a huge cloud forming in Sunset Mountain with commission for him to preach the opening of the seven seals of Revelation, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. Leave it there. In that corner is the cloud that was formed. Now, this cloud, they took a picture of it, put it in Time magazine, right? They took a picture of it, and this cloud was formed after the angels were ascending, right? They weren't descending, but they were ascending, going up. This cloud was taken. Now, go to the next picture. A high cloud, Ring of Mystery, published in Life magazine, May 17, 1963. God trying to speak. God is in his universe, right? 26 miles high, 30 miles across. This is the way they said the cloud was. You can see different, the way that the cloud went. They got different pictures of different places. Prescott, Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, I think down in Mexico. They had pictures of this cloud, different ways that they saw it. God was speaking to his people. Look at it. Go on to the next. Go on to the next. Problem was, when they saw it that first way, they had no idea what it was. Scientists could not understand. But a prophet told us to turn that cloud to the right. It says, in the very picture of that seven angels being lifted up, turn it to the right-hand side, and there is the face of the Lord Jesus looking down to the earth again, and it showed that Jesus was judged. There's a white wig that they used to wear, put a wig on and wear it as a judge. England still does it, and when you got supreme authority, now that's Revelation 1, that said that he would have, amen, he would wear a wig that would be white, and it shows supreme authority. Now, God was using this as a sign in the sky, God in his universe. People don't want to hear the voice, but look at the sign. It's still God speaking. Turn the picture to the right, it was Christ. Now, go on to the next picture. Keep clicking again. One more time. You can see Christ in the midst of that cloud. Now I want to read the scripture for you. Take me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 1. Look at this. Acts chapter 1. I want you to read something with me. Thank you, Lord. We're not just making these things up. God is in his universe. God is in his universe. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Look at this. It says this, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, I want to ask a question, and you answer it yourself. Was that Jesus returning back? I just showed you it was Christ in that cloud. Was that him fulfilling this scripture in 1963? You have to be the one to answer that question. God used a sign in the heavens to try to get people's attention. Church, don't let this go past you. God will use what? If God got to use, amen, he'll use a preaching to try to preach it. He'll use a donkey, if you have to talk it over to you. He'll use a dream to try to get your attention. He'll use a sign in the heaven to try to get your attention. God trying to prove what he's doing in this hour. All we got to do is line it up with scripture. Oh, the heavens declare his glory. Church, I tell you what, when you just begin to sometimes just look at the whole picture, no matter what people are saying, you just begin to look at the whole picture. God is declaring his glory all over the place. Amen. Amen. Church, I tell you, I didn't make that up. That's something even Time magazine got a hold of that. Right? Even Time magazine. But I'm here to just try to show, amen, and try to encourage the people of God. Look, God is moving in this hour. Amen. And it's not just a good feeling. God wants you to come to truth. Oh, my. Because see, when you find truth, you get settled.
Yes,
amen. God wants you to know. God wants you to know how he's doing things according to his word, right? Not according to other people. I made a comment on yesterday, on the radio. I'm getting ready to read a few scriptures for you, but y'all just bear with me here. I made a comment on the radio yesterday. I was preaching on some trust. I mean, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I said, how some people will trust chariots, some trust horses, but we trust the name of the Lord our God. I said, Ahab was trusting in his disguise, right? When he thought that he could disguise himself as not being the king, he thought he could trust that. But the prophecies say, Ahab, you're going to die, right? And he thought he could trust in the disguise. Well, when he went out there and they realized that Jehoshaphat was not the king, Ahab got shot with an arrow, and he died right there. He was trusting in his chariot. He was trusting in his disguise, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, before Ahab went out there to battle, the other thing that Ahab trusted was false prophecy.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Church, I want to tell you, don't trust the false. God got the real. God got the real. Can I just read a few scriptures? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, help us. Let's look at Psalms 33. Thank you, Jesus. It was important for them to watch signs in the Old Testament. It was important for them. Watch what was happening in the stars. Watch what was happening. That was the way that they could tell what God was doing. Brother Randall said that was the first Bible that God wrote was the Zodiac Bible. Amen. That was it. Look at this, Psalms 33. Let me read verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. I'll be coming home in a little bit. Oh, God. He just feels the universe. God's all over it. Psalms 33, verse 6 says this: by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth, every galaxy. Amen. Everything that's in the universe, God made it by the word, by his word, and by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And if God can do all that, let's go on to verse 10. He can do this too. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Now, I just want to just inject on that. Look, if this system that we live in, this solar system, the sun going up and coming down, and amen, the sea can only go so far. If that's controlled by the word of God, and it's been the same every day, church. It has not changed. Amen. When before you were born, it was acting that way. When you die, it's going to be still doing the same thing. That has not changed. If those things haven't changed, then God's word in his Bible hasn't changed either.
Amen.
All we got to do is apply our faith with what he's already said. Look at it. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Let me read another one. Let me read another one. Go to Psalms 24. Let's just read it. I love God's word. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 24. Oh, thank you, Lord. Look at it. Look at it. Psalms 24, verse 1. It says this. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas. I mean, God's word is established, amen, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Salah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Salah. And that Salah is just a pause that David takes just to kind of think about how great God is. I want you to be able to do the same thing today. Think about how great your God is. Stop looking at how big your problem is. And start looking at how big your God is. He covers all space. He covers all time. He's in control. I want to read, amen, this also. Sister Michelle brought this to us. Amen. She had been reading Psalms 93, and she made mention of it as she was just testifying on Friday night. And when she started testifying, she started reading, I said, oh my, that's a confirmation for me. I just want to talk about the God of the universe. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at it. Oh, God. Look at it. It says here, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Come on, I need to let you know your God is not weak. But your God is strong.
Yeah.
The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Mm-hmm. Think about those words. The world is established that it cannot be moved. Mm-hmm. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Church, this is your God I'm talking about. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. I don't care what type of flood is trying to attack you. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Your God reigns.
Amen.
Church, back in the Old Testament, Isaiah spoke of it. They would just worry, and they'd just be in turmoil, just turning all night long. People going through different things in their life, and they just had no idea of just finding out when God was going to move. And, you know, I'm glad the scripture actually tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We may find ourselves in some really, really tight spots, but sometimes God just likes to speak and bring peace to you through just little things that he does. And all you got to do is just look around. You'll find him, church. You'll find him. But back in those days, Isaiah spoke of it, you know, in Isaiah 21. And what would happen is that they had a watchman that was sitting in the tower. And that watchman, Brother Branham told us now, that watchman, what he had to do is study the stars. He had to know what the stars meant. And when they line up in a certain way, that man had to understand that. I mean, he had to be able to see, and he was studying, he would know. So, okay, now this mean this. He said, now when this star get into this position, it's 1 o'clock. When this star get into this position, it's 2 o'clock. When this get, it's 3 o'clock. And he would know exactly what time it was based on those stars. Come on now. You can't trust your watch.
That's right.
Come on, your watch might lose time. But these men, these watchmen would study the stars as they were just looking, amen, in the sky. And they would be up all night. And so now you had to have a watchman that really understood these things, because people depended on that watchman. People depended on what he would say. So as they're at night and they can't sleep, they would come out and they would just begin to look up to the watchman. And they'd just yell, scream out, watchman, what are the nights? What's going on? And church, that's the way I kind of feel today. I mean, there are things happening in this earth. You need to be able to get to somebody that got some answers.
Yeah.
We got somebody that got some answers.
Yeah.
God sent a prophet in this hour.
Yeah.
And we got the answers. So all we have to do is yell out, watchman, what are the nights? What's going on here? What's going on with this? What's going on with that, so my heart can be settled in this hour.
Yes.
They were yelling. must be one of the night.
Yes.
Wives will say, well, you know, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. Just going back to bed, sun will be up soon. Mm-hmm. People just, you know, some people can't wait for the morning to come. Some people just get tired of going through night situations. You know, they can't wait for the morning to come. And here they just sit there and say, watch one of the night, and they go back and forth, running back and forth. That watchman said, and Brother Branham said, what would happen is that he'd look, and at a certain time of night, there'd be a certain star come out. And this star would be called the morning star. And say, only the early risers would be able to see the morning star. Can I just tell you something? Only the early risers. And I'm going to tell you something. I mean, say only people that was willing to leave their traditions going to see the morning star. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Only ones that's willing to walk out on, amen, on what it used to be and go to what God is doing for the day. Them the ones that's going to see the morning star.
Right.
Oh, come on now. Right? Them the ones that's kind of, I mean, they got the ability to get up early, get ahead of everybody else.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. My mind just go to... I'm coming back to it. But my mind go back to those, that day that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. And that on that day was signed. They had to wait. It was signed, I think, in September, something like that. But they had to wait to January 1st before it actually go into effect. And Brother Branham said how many of them would just kind of go to the top of the mountain. And the ones that were strong enough, they would get to the top of the mountain, those slaves, they knew that they was free that next day. So this is where watch night come in. So they went up to the top of the mountain. There's some that wasn't strong enough, they got to the middle of the mountain. The other ones that really couldn't get up the mountain, they stood down in the valley. But the ones that got up to the top, they were just watching. Oh my God. See, God was speaking in his universe. Amen. And when that sun would rise, and when they saw that sun rise, they began to yell down the mountain, "We free." The ones in the middle of the mountain caught the message and just began to send it down to those that's in the valley. We free. And no matter where you was on this mountain, whether you was at the bottom, whether you was at the top, or whether you was in the middle, it didn't matter. You were still free. And I don't care where you at today. I'm yelling out from the top of the mountain. You are free. From whatever it is Satan has you bound with, you are free. And then they watch that morning star. That morning star when it come, because you know, the prophecy was that, you know, hey, says when, you know, when the darkness come, but light, I mean, let me just read that before I just misquoted Isaiah 21:12. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just read it real quick. Isaiah 21:12. 11 says, the bird of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir, watchman, what a night. The watchman said, the morning cometh and also the night. If you inquire ye, return, come. Now, what was happening that, you know, if the morning was coming, but also the night. Now, when they would see that star rise, that morning star, God speaking in his universe, that morning star, right, representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That morning star would come out, and when they saw the morning star actually coming out, they knew that, amen, that darkness was getting ready to come to an end, and light was getting ready to come upon the earth. The sun was getting ready to shine upon the earth. It was all because of the morning star, them seeing the morning star. Now, when Isaiah said this, says, watchmen, the morning cometh and also the night, what that means is that for the church, morning is coming.
All right.
But for the world, night is coming.
Right.
Church, you got to be ready
right.
for the morning. Be ready for what God is getting ready to do in this hour. You got to be spiritual so you can catch what God's doing. We're not just talking about a jump and a shout.
Amen.
Come on, we're talking a little bit more than that. But we want to be ready for what God, and God is speaking through his universe. I'm telling you all that right now. Those things you start hearing people talk about, these blood moons, God is speaking. Right? Other things that happen up there, you might hear them say this and say that. God is speaking. People won't go to church to hear God, so he'll preach to them from his universe.
Amen.
Morning coming, but also the night. Those watchmen watched in those towers for what God was doing in his universe. And based on what they saw God doing in that universe, they could take that and apply it and give the people hope. Church, I tell you, we're closer now than we've ever been to the coming of the Lord. And I pray, my prayer, just like Joel said, he said, look, anybody that calls on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If they can catch the signs that God is doing, let's lead people to Christ.
Amen.
Come on, you got to see what God is doing this hour. God is speaking. God has spoken. And God is still speaking. Let's hear his voice. The heavens declare his glory. The heavens declare. Just hear his voice. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let's pray, church. Oh, God. Oh, God. Father, you are the same one your prophet said that stood on an invisible platform. And you spoke, let there be everything that we see with our natural eye came from something that wasn't. But through your spoken word, we are enjoying the benefits of it. This earth that we live on is because of your word that was spoken. The cars that we drive is because of the word that was spoken. The seats that we sit in is because of the word that was spoken. The clothes that we wear is because of the word that was spoken. And if the God that we serve can speak all these things and cause them to come to pass, help us to believe that God, when it comes to, Lord, things that we're facing, sickness in our body and circumstances, Lord, that we're running into, God, you are in control over all of that. There is nothing. You are more mightier. We read in the scripture, Lord, you're mightier than the floods that we can face. You have set boundaries that it cannot pass. If you can tell the seas to stop, if you can speak peace to the storm, what can you do for us, Jesus? But God, don't let us miss it in this hour. You're speaking all around. We know that you're in your people. You speak. You're in nature. You speak. God, you're in your universe. You're still speaking. You're using everything you can to speak to people. Even Einstein tapped right into eternity and didn't even realize what he was in. But God, help us to recognize that you're just all over, God. And you're calling us, Lord Jesus, to a deeper walk and, amen, a more sincere walk with you, God. Help us, Father, to do that. You're a mighty God, an amazing God, a loving God. Who would serve you? I'm so glad that you're my God. Lord, this message, I just pray, Lord, that all I wanted to do is help us to draw closer to you, God. Pray that you would just help us just to sit back sometimes, just really just meditate, just really think on how big you are, how small our problems are. You cannot compare it to the God that we serve. We bless you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Stars in the sky.
Hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together. The God that we serve is amazing. Tell them how amazing he is. tell him how amazing he is. You are amazing, God. You are amazing. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, oh God. Thank you, God. Sometimes we just need to take time, church. Just think about it. Just think about it. We serve a mighty God. Serve a mighty God. The Bible says in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. And everything that we see out there, God did it all, church. God did it all. It's all done by his word. If he could do that, what can he do for us? Oh, Jesus, we love you, God. We love you. We love you. God, we bless you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to his name. That was going down the river, the little boy in this boat. Everybody was asking, the little boy was asking everybody, can I see God? Can I see him? I just want to see him. He asked his mother and pastor, Sunday school teacher, everybody told him no, that he couldn't see God. But he asked that man in that boat that day. That man said, every time I look at the tree, I see God. When I look at the fish, sky, I see God. When I look at the moon at night, I see God. Everywhere I turn, I see God. He was so full of God that everywhere he turned, God was just right there. The other man that was confined, amen, to the upstairs room because his daughter wanted to have a tea party. Every time he turned his Bible, just see something in the scripture, just make him shout, just make him jump. He just get so excited about reading about God. The Lord said, I'm going to fix you. I'm not going to give you a Bible. I'm going to give you a geography book. Start reading geography. When he read the geography book, he was start reading about the seas and how deep the seas were in. Just start shouting. His daughter come upstairs and say, what in the world going on? I gave you geography. I didn't give you no Bible. So I just started thinking about, you know, how deep these seas were. And if my sins were thrown into a sea of forgetfulness, then there's nothing that the devil can do with me. Church, everywhere you turn, you see God. I'm so glad I love him so much. That's all I can see is him. That's all I want to see is Jesus. That's all I want to see is Jesus. Can we give the Lord another hand of praise? Brother Solomon, if you would come and just close us out today. Just want to thank the Lord. Amen, Mother Woodfolk, being with us. So good to see you, Mother. Good to have you in service. God richly bless you.
He just surrendered himself and come. He said, because if he Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We thank God for watching over the grandson, protecting him out there. And there was a pretty big accident early this week, and glass all over, amen, the ground. Knowing that God brought her grandson through that, she certainly has something to be happy about. And we worship the Lord along with her. Amen. God bless you, church. Amen. You serve a big God. Never tell you your God is small. You serve a big God, and He's in control. May God bless you. Thank you.
God that lives within us rise up, Lord, this evening. We thank you for your word that we just heard, Lord, seeing you in your universe, oh Lord. And we know that you're in your people. We know that you're in your word, Father. We're so grateful that you are in our brother's heart.